Welcome to the sermons and teachings from the Catalyst Fellowship with Ipai Michael. We hope the message you're about to listen to will edify you and cause you to experience exponential growth. And now, the message.
Hallelujah. Say with me, say, Father, I'm ready for your word today. It transforms me, it changes me, and my life will never remain the same.
Thank you, Jesus.
Do you believe what we just did has an impact?
I believe in the power of prayer. I believe in the power of prayer. I believe that power can be produced through prayer. I believe that situations can shift through prayer. Prayer has not stopped working, and it won't stop working. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yes. Hallelujah.
Amen. Are you ready for the word? All right. Where's your Bible, everybody? Show me your writing materials. And this is where I want to start from. I you know, intentionally, I just knew I was going to ask the questions. You know, I've been asking this question since last year, before every teaching. And my expectation is that by now, there would have been growth. There's something the Bible talks about. And there's some set of people the Bible talk about. And the Bible mentions the danger that comes with what I'm about to teach you. Sometimes the Bible refers to them that people who are ever learning, never able to come to the point of truth. God forbid that that is you, but it's a danger. There's a danger with hearing something consistently and not acting on it. Because every opportunity that you get to follow the things of the Spirit, the nudgings of the Spirit, the instructions of God in your life, every opportunity you get to follow it and you turn down, the Bible has a name for it, hardness of heart. Are you with me? You know, the Bible talks about Pharaoh, and the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. It was not God that hardened Pharaoh's heart. Every opportunity Pharaoh had to repent that he did not take hardened his heart. And that is the danger with not following instructions. It is dangerous, especially in the Christian faith. Extremely dangerous. Are you listening to me? Extremely dangerous. The parable of the sower talks about some people who received the word of God, but it was choked. It means that you can hear things, but if they don't bear the fruit of activity or action in your life, there's a problem. Because are you listening to me? The Bible speaks about the Israelites this way. It said, precepts upon precepts they were taught. Precepts, they were instructed on everything they needed to do, yet they rebelled. And shortly, our characters, when we begin to do tiny little things like this, is a form of rebellion, and it is dangerous. As, listen, and I'm not joking, I'm very serious. It is dangerous. If you want to grow spiritually, refrain from it. It is very dangerous. The Bible speaks about them. It says they are ever learning, always hearing, never able to come to the point of truth. And it starts gradually. Are you listening to me? There's something the Bible calls the searing of conscience. When you, as a person, you can't touch a hot pot that's on the fire. But how many of you have mothers that can carry 105 degree pots from the fire without any clothes? What they did to their fingers is what the Bible is saying you are doing to your consciousness, to your spirit. Every time you get an opportunity to follow the instructions that you're given in the word and by the spirit, the notice of the spirit, instructions in church, and you neglect it, you are searing your conscience. Because by constantly neglecting the pain of taking a hot pot from the fire and bringing it, they have burnt every sensitivity and the receptors that would have helped them discern those things. So what has happened? Their fingers have become slow receptors, dead receptors to pain. And that's what you do to your conscience. Every time you neglect simple instructions, what are you doing? You are searing your conscience. You are making it a slow receptor, a dead receptor. Because tomorrow, I'll tell you something. If your pastor, and listen, I'm going to say many things today that you might not find okay, but that's my job as a pastor. Amen? So I'm going to say it. And if you fight with me, fight with me. But I'm going to say it. Amen? When your pastor gives you an instruction, these things apply to me and any pastor you ever find yourself under. When your pastor gives you an instruction, most especially, the neglect you give to it, you are training your spirit that this man's words don't have value. You don't know, but that's what you do. So, next time you find yourself receiving another instruction and it's harder for you to do even though you want to do it, the problem is that even though you want to do it, you've trained your spirit that this thing is not valuable enough for me to do it. So everything you do is an imprint in your spirit. If you are not careful, you then train your spirit in neglect and rebellion unknowingly. Is that you following me? This is important. Many believers don't know it at all. So they say, oh, come to church for this. You come whenever you want to come. I'm telling you, the day that it matters, you've trained your spirit not to respond and it will not respond. It might not matter tomorrow. It might not matter in next week's Sunday's meeting. Pastor says, oh, make sure you come to church. You know, well, you don't come. It might not matter. But the days it will count, you would wish you had obeyed every single instruction because you would have trained your spirit on the value of listening to those instructions and you would not have seared your conscience. Please, are you listening to me? This is important. And so one of the easiest ways to get out of this is to, listen, this happens also to the leadings of the Spirit. If you don't take one leading of the Spirit, it will be hard for you to hear God ever. Are you paying attention? I'm teaching you something you must realize every day. If God says something as small, you know, I remember I was listening to a post of a man of God, popular man of God in Nigeria. He said he didn't have money. The day they ordained him, he knelt down. Then he had, you know, a murmur in the crowd. Ah! He knew what had happened. His shoe had a big hole behind and they were ordaining him. That was the level of penury he was in. And the first day someone gave him a seed and said, ah, pastor, thank you. He heard the Lord tell him, go and drop it in the church. He said, ah! You do not tell the rituals. It's me that I don't have anything. But you know what he did? He said, I stood up. So he did not even have car. So he trekked to church to give the seed that would have been his transport fare. And he trekked back to his house. 2 o'clock sun. If he had ignored that, his tinily, you know the thing? Judas did not start on the day he betrayed Jesus. He had been stealing money from the purse a long time ago. That's what I'm teaching you about. That everything you neglect, it was not God that chose Judas to be the betrayer. Are you getting what I'm saying? He still had a choice. He had been stealing, gradually, searing his conscience. That's why you have the mind to betray Jesus. Some of you don't know what you are capable of. But if you allow yourself long enough, you will become an atheist. You don't believe what I'm saying? If you allow yourself long enough, you will become an atheist. So you have to take instructions as little as this seriously. Well, it's been a joke last year. This year, I will smile when you don't bring it. But it's no more a joke. If you want to grow as a member of this church, you have to always come to church with your Bible and with your writing materials. You have to take notes. Those are the things that will save you. Nothing I say here will matter after today if you don't have notes. I'm a product of taking notes like you. So I'm not telling you things that don't work for me. When you come to my house, I can show you notes I've been taking since 2014. Those are the things that are saving my life till today. Now I don't even have to look at my notes again because I've transferred all of them to my Apple Notes. So thank God. But I still have those notes there where I kept them. I wish I could bring them to church and show you. I was always working with a diary in university. There was always something to learn. I was a learner. Always something to learn. So I work and so I write it down. Because on the day where I need it, I can go back to where it is written and it's fresh like I'm just hearing it again. But when you don't write things down, you cannot recollect. You think your memory is that sharp. You can't recollect as perfect as you need to. So when our memories fail, the life is in your notes. I treat my note like I treat my Bible. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because when my memory fails, the life is in the notes I've written. The words I've written. Please, are you following me? And so what a way for me to introduce to you the new teaching series. By scolding you. The title of our new teaching series is Matthets. What did I call it? Matthets. M-A-T-H-E M-A-T-T-E-S. And what is matets? Matets is a Greek word for student or disciple. And that's what this teaching series is about. About being students and about being disciples. Please, are you following me? About being disciples. Who is a disciple? How do you become a disciple? Are you getting discipleship right today? Are you truly a student? What are you missing? How long should you be discipled for? Those are some of the things we're going to explain in this series. What does it mean that you're a student of the word? Who is a spiritual father? How do you follow a spiritual father? How do you follow a mentor? Why should you have a mentor? Why do you give so much regard to mentors? Should you even give such level of regards to mentors? Amen. You know, there was this post that I saw on Twitter a few weeks ago. And the pastor wrote, your pastor is a higher authority than your parents. And Twitter exploded. Jesus, they dragged him. Hey! They dragged him like Tiger Jen. They dragged him. Insta blog posted him, all the blogs posted him. And well, I think the way he phrased it, requested the dragging, but it's not a lie. Do you get what I'm saying? Because to the people that are hearing it, my parents that raised me, my mother that carried me 9 months, a pastor I just met yesterday, you know, that's logical, right? Am I answering the question? No, not yet. So don't look at some of you are like, oh, a pastor said next. Is it true? Is it not true? At the end of the series, you will know. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So before we jump into it, let's get the introductions out of the way. And just at the side, if you don't have a Bible, I can help you get one. Just follow up. Show that it's important. Get a notepad. Get a pen. I've not seen anybody, I'll tell you emphatically, I have not seen anybody who attains exponential growth in God without note taking. Take my words anywhere. Do you hear what I said? Take my words anywhere. Challenge it anywhere. Ask any great man of God. He took notes. Even Bishop Oyedepo is still taking notes. I'm like, sir, what are you writing? He's still taking notes. So, someone else is preaching, is in the meeting, and he's scribbling. Papa, sir, what? Please, what are you writing? Are you listening to me? He still take notes. This is important. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Beautiful flyer, right? We tried. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Are you all there? We're going to read together verse 16 and 17. Are you ready to read? Let's read together. 1, 2, go. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for what? Verse 17. That the man of God may be what? And thoroughly equipped for every what? Good work. It says all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. So, who is speaking here? Paul to who? Timothy. So Paul is speaking to his protege here. And he says, oh, actually, you know what? Let's read from 15. Are we ready? All right, let's read together. 1, 2, go. And that from childhood, you've known the holy scriptures, which are able to what? So he says he's known the holy scriptures. The word holy scriptures there is the Greek word hagiography. And that means inspired writing. You see what I'm saying? Inspired writing. So they had a lot of writings in that time, but the writings that Paul was referring to are inspired writings. And you see what I'm saying? Talking about the writings in the Old Testament, these are books that are inspired by God. And so when he says all scripture is inspired by God, he's saying it is God who inspired this text. Please, are you getting what I'm saying? It's given by the inspiration of God. It's God breath. So, even though men wrote, we reckon those words as the words of God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Even though it was communicated through the lives and through the words of men, we still reckon those words as the words of who? Please, are you paying attention? So we reckon the Old Testament, and in this case, even the whole Bible, as the words of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 20 says, knowing first that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man. Do you see that? Prophecy do not come by what? The will of man. But holy men did what? Does that make sense? So men did not will scripture into existence. They were moved by the Holy Ghost to write. So even though we saw that men were writing, we still regard those words as the words of God. Are you seeing what I'm saying? This is important. Hallelujah. So even though we look at the Bible communicated through natural men, it has a supernatural origin. And that's what I'm trying to show you. It has a what? And so we know the stories. We know the Old Testament, we know that is from God. The New Testament as well, because we know the author and the authors. You see what I'm saying? And the authority of the authors, we know that is also inspired text. Hallelujah. So this is important. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 20 says that we are built upon the foundation of the apostles. Christ himself being what? The chief cornerstones. So the writings of these apostles we regard as authoritative. Do you see what I'm saying? And inspired by God. All in all, we come to a conclusion that the whole Bible is what? Inspired by who? By God. Hallelujah. Let's go back to 2 Timothy 3:16. So it says, all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's from God. It's God breathed. And is profitable. Greek word of philemos. It means advantageous. There's a profiting for scriptures. Yes, scriptures are from God, but there's an advantage of scripture. What are the advantages of scripture? Number one is what? What is doctrine? What we believe and we teach. And that's doctrine. So when we're looking to find what we believe and what we should teach, where must we look? Scriptures. Because this is all scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. So when we're looking for doctrine, we look at scriptures. Our source must be scriptures. Doctrine should not be gotten from anywhere else but scriptures. Not from our experiences, not from our feelings, not from personal revelation. Doctrine must be from scriptures. And in our case, as we begin to consider the subject matter of discipleship, we must learn what the Bible says about it. Because there are a lot of people who claim to be disciples and don't even know the first thing about discipleship. I wish you knew what discipleship really is. And I know some of you do know. But some of you need to learn more. You know what it meant for Jesus' disciples to call themselves disciples? It meant a lot more than just identifying with Christ. It meant following. Amen. It meant what? Following. Not many of us know how to follow. Are you listening to me? Not many of us know how to follow. It meant to follow, literally. To follow. So in their time, it was even a bit more intentional because there was a literal following where the people were there and present. Please, are you following me, everybody? There's following. So when we look at scripture, we know who a disciple really is, and we can see how the process is supposed to happen. Is everybody following me? Number two is what? Reproof. What is reproof? Evidence. So we get proof or evidence for what we believe from the scriptures. The Greek word there is what? Elengo. And what does elengo mean? It means proof. So when considering or asking questions for why we believe what we believe, we look at what? Scriptures. Scripture defends itself. It gives us the evidence. This is the same method the Apostle Paul used and Jesus Christ used. When they needed to prove something, they explained it from where? From scriptures. Number three advantage of scripture, correction. And this is probably one of the most important, but yet hardest. Correction. We get correction through scriptures. If someone corrects you and it's not substantiated in scriptures, please ignore the correction. Amen? I'm talking in the word. Do you understand what I'm saying? Not from experiences. I had a dream, and in my dream, I saw you doing this. Mm-mm. That's not enough for me to correct your doctrine. You see what I'm saying? It's not enough. I have to substantiate it in the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about discipleship? Because tomorrow, someone is going to wake up and say, he had a dream. And God says, you should follow Papa Kenneth E. Hagin. And we cannot argue with him. But I will. Who knows the problem with that? He's dead. How do you follow a dead man? By dying, right? Because you get what I'm saying. You know, I've had many instances like that, discipling somebody, and the person told me, actually, I've even had many experiences. I was discipling somebody once who was following 5 people at the same time. I said, you're not following, you don't even know what it means to follow. And the 5 people are saying 5 different things, and he does not even know that they're different. You see, that's the worst part. Does that make sense? I've given you that analogy before. You go to 5 different universities. You go every week to different universities. Today, you are in McMaster. Tomorrow, you are in U Windsor. Next tomorrow, U of O. U of Waterloo. Then you now come and write the exam in Windsor. You go. Amen? Would you pass the exam? Are you getting what I'm saying? This person doesn't even know that they are saying things in opposition. You say, no, sir. That for the vastness of the knowledge, I have to spread my way. I say, you go soon lost. Amen? I've discipled quite a number of people with different ideas. You know, one day a lady came, and said, Lord has told her, who she should follow. Even when people tell me that God said they should follow me, I don't used to jump at it first. Because God can tell you to follow, but you are acting not like a follower. So people prove it. It's when you start. You know, there's a young man that came to me and said, Lord said you should follow me. I said, okay, assignment, understanding the gospel one. Listen to understand the gospel, our first series. And write your note and come back to me. Maybe we'll come back tomorrow. He's still writing. He's not back. You are not convinced. He said, God told you to follow. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So, we have to be corrected through the scripture. We have to be able to receive instructions from scripture. What does the Bible say about discipleship? Some people are more disciples than even the one that post online that they are disciples. So, it's not just about I identify as I follow this person. And your life shows, nothing in your life shows followership. You only come for the meetings, big meetings. Yeah, no, that you know, man of God style. Can I carry your Bible, sir? I'm not deceiving anybody, yo. I'm not deceiving anybody. Please, are you following me? That's what it means to follow. You know, I remember one time when I just started going to, the church I grew in the faith in. It was there many years, just sitting in front. Nothing. There was nothing peculiar about me. I had nothing to prove to anybody, but I was always in front. Always. Like, I will wake up early from Ikorodu. I don't even know Ikorodu. Some of you can't relate anymore. You're Canadians now, right? I will go. That was a 2-hour journey every Sunday. You know, some people can never make 30 minutes journey anymore. 2 hours from Ikorodu, take cab, take it 2 hours journey, get to church, still sit down. I think it was so bad that when people are coming for reboot camp, they used to plan this. That front seat, there are some men that used to sit out there. Don't try them. So they tried to come early, but we'll still sit down in front. And that was the same. It was nothing about claiming to be a man of God. It was just that constant method. This is where I am. This is where I'm growing. And this is where I must be serious. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So I was always, always, always there. Always present there. And then one other guy who I used to know, wanted to come into the church and cut corners and start ministering. So he was always getting closer to my spiritual father, then getting closer to my spiritual father. One day, pastor, I said, "Shall this boy won't make I give her a mic." It's not going to happen. You have to stay. You have to learn. It's not going to magically happen. I've had disciples in that same sense before. A young man who recently I restored, spoke to him and we've been talking. The first day he came to our ministry for a camp meeting, I gave him mic to lead prayer. But you don't cut corners with things like that. I did it intentionally because he's far older. You see what I'm saying? And I saw his passion. So I gave him mic to lead prayers. And when I do that, I use that to assess people and their level of growth. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so after that, I started watching him. I gave him no attention after that. Let's see what he does. He has a very good heart. He was actually consistent for a very long time, checking up on people. He had his shortcomings sometimes. I corrected him. But that's it. I will not give you any more attention. That's what it will be. Let's see how long. If you are really here, you'll be here. Now, I'm just giving you examples of things I've experienced. There are many more in many other places. Discipleship is not just about, I am following. It takes a lot more. Please, are you following me? It takes a lot more. And then lastly, the Bible says, instruction in righteousness. We get it from where? From scriptures. Open your Bibles with me, everybody. The book of Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 23. You know, such a sensitive subject matter in this part of the world. And I'm like, why? The Bible is very clear about it. Are you ready to read with me, everybody? Philippians 1, 23. Are we there? All right, let's read together. One, two, go. For I'm hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is what? Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful. Well, if you've been in this church long enough, you know this text. This is a prime example of God's plan for the believer. The Apostle Paul is speaking to the church in Philippi, and he says, I'm hard-pressed between two. I have two options. The first is to depart and to go be with Christ. He says that's far better. So, you see a man who has his personal ambitions in God. He says, but I have another option. He says, that's wonderful for who? For you, for the Philippian church. By extension, you're seeing the relationship in ministry here. The perspective of the church and the perspective of the shepherd. The shepherd here being Paul, the church here being what? The church in Philippi. And by extension, the church of God everywhere. You're seeing that relationship in ministry. This is ministry. The apostle wants to go be with Christ. He's talking about his death. You know, Paul don't suffer for this. You know, at this point, he's like, can I just go be with my father? He says, I want to do that. Listen, ministry gifts have personal ambition sometimes, even in God. But he says to remain is for the benefit of the church. And so there's something about pastors, about teachers, about mentors that is beneficial, not just to them or their family, but to who? The church. Because are you listening to me? And Paul is saying here that his presence with the church in Philippi is beneficial to them. This means there are certain special benefits that unpastored people are missing and they can enjoy under right discipleship. Are you listening to me? Oh my God. I knew that very quickly. Not even only unpastored people. If you are not pastored by the right person, certain benefits. You know, I was under somebody for many years, and under that tutelage, I began to get more prolific in my teaching. People started to follow me more. But rather than pick me up and train me in the way of the Lord and help me be more excellent, he started to suppress me. He saw me as a threat for a very long time. So, how will your own father be bad-mouthing you? You know, so I didn't know what to do. Everything I did seemed to be out of place. But I was not doing it intentionally. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen, there's something about the grace of God that announces you before you announce yourself. Are you getting what I'm saying? So it was just there. People just came around. Oh, they want to hear me teach. They want to hear me do this. Listen, everybody that was coming to me, I actually used to say, our spiritual father is this guy. That was actually how I used to speak. But for some reason, it wasn't like that. So there was a difference between where I was then and when the Lord led me somewhere else. And that doesn't happen randomly. You cannot just up and go. Are you understand? It took me many years. I can't even explain to you. I covered for him for almost 4 years of his shortcomings. So I did not just up and leave at the first moment that I saw an error in his life. Are you getting what I'm saying? No. 4 years, actually almost five. There was a day people ganged up. They were going to Instablog Niger. Me and my friend said, no, that's not how we deal with things in the church. And even though I was still being spited, listen, it got to a stage in my ministry that everybody I had discipled would see me on the road, they would not greet me. Because my so-called spiritual father had told people bad things about me. So my ministry was destroyed, and I was ready, and I told God, I said, I will only go to church, sit down, and learn. If this is what it takes to pastor, you know, I'm not running for it. I'm not after the fame. I'm not after anything. So I started going to church, sit down, you know, I'll see people that I mean teach you your gospel, first gospel where you hear, you know, but I'll be walking, you know, and I'll even say hi. Some of them will ignore me. So I had a decision to make. Either you come and ask me, this thing I heard about you, is it true? I either tell you, if you can believe such about me, then I did it. Or I have to tell you the other side of the story that would destroy my spiritual father. I chose the previous. I didn't say anything. If you believe I did it, I did it. If you don't believe that I did such, then let it go. Some people have not learned what it means. If it's you, it's you that will be the source to Twitter. You give them all the statistics. You are the one that will reveal the whole thing. It took me 4 years. When I got to the new place, listen, I told my spiritual father when I got to where the Lord was leading me, I told him, I said, I'm doing this. I said, you don't need to tell me, no. He said, just give me steady information on your progress. He said, that's what I need. I believe in the grace of God on your life. Spread your wings. I'm not insecure. So the difference between two people can be who is training them. Are you getting what I'm saying? It means there are some benefits that unpastored people are not even getting that you are getting in your life, especially with regards to your growth in God. Please, are you following me? And God's plan for the spiritual growth of people has a lot to do with discipleship. You can't take discipleship out of it. I'm just doing an introduction today. There's still a lot I'm going to talk about. And before I go too far, the topic of today's teaching is understanding these gifts called men. What did I say? So, I'm just going to talk a bit more about just who these men are that God is asking you to follow. Why? And who are you with respect to them? Understanding these gifts called men. Verse 25. Let's read the previous text first. One to go. It's more needful for you. Next verse. I'm being confident. Was he confident of? That if he stays with them, they will grow. It says, being confident of this, I know that what? I shall remain and continue with you. KJV says, I shall abide and continue with you. And so the first thing I want you to see in this text are those two words. I shall abide. And what? What's the first word? What's the second word? I shall abide and continue. The Greek word for abide is meno, M-E-N-O. What does meno mean? It means to not depart. It means to remain. It means to stay. It means to stay. This also means that discipleship is not complete until you stay. Amen. Today, Kuza. Tomorrow, RCCG. Next tomorrow, Mountain of Fire. 2 weeks later, MFM. And spread your tentacles to be watered everywhere. It is not complete until you stay. What did I say? Discipleship is not what? What did I say one more time? Until you stay. It says abide and continue. Talks about a continual presence. Actually, ideally, there's no long distance discipleship. Are you getting what I'm saying? Ideally, there's no long distance discipleship. Amen. So meno means what? To not depart, to stay, to abide. The same word meno was used in 2 Timothy 3:14. The Bible says, but continue in the things which you've learned. So that continuing is meno. Continue. Hallelujah. What's the second word? Actually, continue. Abide is the first. Continue is the second. The Greek word for continue there is sumparameno. S-U-M-P-A-R-A-M-E-N-O. Sumparameno. It is gotten from three Greek words. Sun, S-U-N, para, P-A-R-A, and meno. Does that make sense? And what does sun mean? It means to accompany. Para means to be beside. And meno means to not depart. So, it is an emphasis of meno. Are you seeing what I'm saying? So, he's saying, I'm going to stay with you. Abide and continue. Is I'm going to stay with you, but I'm going to be present. I'm not going to depart. I'm going to remain constantly beside you. So, it means to abide together. To continue to live together. That's what it means. So, Paul was not just saying, oh, I want to continue with you for a progress and join the faith and it's far away. No. I'm going to be with you. That's what the Bible means when it says that he was with them 3 years, teaching every day in their synagogue. That is sum parameno. Amen? We still de parameno. So, he was teaching every day. I'm not saying go to church every day. But do you get what I'm saying? There was some form of edification every day. That's discipleship. Is that you following me? So, let's read together. One to go. And having this confidence, I know that I shall meno kai sum parameno. I never know how to read Greek. You should begin to put some Greek in your... Let's read together. I want to go. And having this confidence, I know that I shall... Kai... What is Kai? Okay. Wow. Greek scholars. Meno kai sum parameno with you all for your... Greek word? Prokopei. For your prokope and joy of faith. Kai joy of faith. Amen? So he's saying that if I stay with you, so the outcome of menosum parameno is furtherance. The outcome of a pastor staying with you is furtherance. The Greek word is prokope. It means advancement. It means profiting. There's a profiting of being pastored. Are you listening to me? What did I say? It says for your furtherance. Advancement. So there's something that will happen because he stays with them that will result in their profiting. Paul's presence will cause them to grow. That's why I always say, listen, if you are in a local assembly 3 months and you don't experience prokope, chances are that you are in the wrong place. Are you listening to me? Because the outcome of a pastor being with you must be progress. So if you are in a place they are not challenging you to do anything, you just feel comfortable, you are not in the right place. Amen?
Amen.
Fortress. And some might say, why growth? Am I not saved? Is it not enough to be saved? But I've said time and time again that the most important thing after salvation is what? Revelation knowledge. Does that make sense? What is revelation knowledge? The knowledge of who you are because of what Christ has done. You have to move to the next stage where it's not only that you are saved, you have to know what's the outcome of this salvation. What must I be doing? So he says the pastor being with them, they would experience furtherance. I thank my God for the Catholic Church. I thank God for where we started from as Grow with Michael Ikwaye. Then we moved to Thrive. After Thrive, then we moved to the Catalyst Fellowship before we became the Catalyst Church. I thank my God for the same results everywhere. I can boast, not in my own work, but in the grace of God, that we have seen the same results in not 5, not 10, not 20, not 90, not even 100. In the hundreds, the same results of lives changed and lives transformed. And I believe the same thing in Windsor. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you categorically, emphatically. Those of you that have been added to our community online, you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to tell you about them. Who they are and who they've been raised to be is evident from just how they are. The Catholic Church is a church of solid and strong disciples in the word, in prayer. Are you listening to me? In the word, in prayer, in evangelism, soldiers. That's what it means to be a Catholic. So if you've not imbibed the culture of the Catholic Church, I'm telling you what it is now. The vision came because the Lord said we will be catalyst of the move of God in our generation. You're not just going to be a solution. You're going to be a catalyst. What's a catalyst? It's an agent when added into a chemical reaction, speeds up that chemical reaction. So you yourself become a change in your environment. You can't do that by being cold. Catholic Church is a church filled with men and women who are prolific in the charismatic. That's our DNA. We don't shake and miss. Prolific. I'm telling you. So, listen, it doesn't matter where you are now, but you're going to get there. Are you listening to me? Prolific. I'm not kidding about it. Prolific. We deceive vision. Amen? We prophesy. Amen? We heal the sick. Amen?
Amen.
And it is that consistent. There's power dynamic in his working. That's where you are growing to be. A man of prayer. Men of prayer. That's who we are. I'm telling you the DNA of this ministry. And we have strong teachers. Strong. You know, I receive calls not once, not twice. I say, I saw your son. He's doing this here. I say, yes, thank you, sir. That's it. That's going to be the testimony of everybody here. It doesn't matter what is happening. That's what's going to happen to you. It says, furtherance. That's what discipleship is. So, we are not just a people. Some people don't know what it means to be disciples. They only know what it means to be church members. We're not just talking church members. We're talking disciples.
No. Some people were shocked when I started giving assignments. You're in a school of the spirit. Amen. You're in what? He says four drums. Then he says joy of faith. What is joy of faith?
That the people we're talking about have come to a point in their walk with God where it's not just enough where that they are off and on and off and on. They have a perpetual joy in the things of God. I'm not on and off. Nothing will stop me. I have joy in doing the things of God. I have joy in prayer. The things of God are no more dutiful. They are delightful to me. Please, are you listening to me? These are the results of effective discipleship. They are the benefits, as it were, of discipleship. And you might struggle to get this if you are not rightly discipled. Please, are you listening to me? In Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. It says, go ye therefore and what? Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of what? The Father, the Son, and who? The Holy Ghost. This was Christ's final instruction before his ascension. He's setting a new structure for how the church and the gospel will continue to move forward in his absence. He gives them a template of what he has done with them to do with others. He says, go and make disciples. The Greek word there is matetuo. He says, go and teach all nations. He says, make students of men. Amen? Make students, make disciples out of men. So the church of Christ is not to be a church of members, it's to be a church of disciples. Did you hear what I said? The church of Christ is not to be a church of members, it's to be a church of what? Disciples. A church of students. It says, teach all nations. Matetuo is to make learners of men. To make true Christ followers of men. He's saying, moving forward, I want a community of disciples. I want a community of students. So every church must be a church of disciples. I repeat it again. People trained, developed in the truth of scriptures and the lifestyle required. Are you listening to me? Mark's account says, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized is saved. What does he want them to do? He wants them to create martets. Who are martets? Students. Disciples. So my job is never done until I make a student out of you. Are you listening to me? Until I make a martet out of you, my job is not done. I don't care how long it takes. What have I not faced? A disciple has called me one day and said, you think you are proud of yourself. You are correcting me in public. I'm not joking. See, real life. So you think you are proud of yourself. So you have scolded us now. And in your mind, you've achieved something. Finish me. I'm telling you. I don't go through things for this pastoral work. Finish me for phone. You know, it's even one thing if maybe you are older than me in age now, I can say, okay, maybe I have to now teach you that age does not matter in this. But this one, I'm even older than I in age. Finish me like this before. I say, wow. Why did he call her? When she finished, I can't start to teach him. You don't do this, you don't do this, you don't do this. Soft deal. Soft deal. What have I not seen? Amen? Hallelujah. So it's to make students. Listen. By the privilege of God, we've made students out of the stubbornest of people. It will take patience, consistency. They will go, they will come back, we pray. Lord, touch their heart. Maru, Sebe, Lebe. Lord! You know, hold the altar, call their name. Hey! Change his heart. So pray. You know, I remember then, even till now, sometimes I still do it. My diary on the first page, I will write all the names of the people. I will put my hand on it like this on the name. I will say, Father! These ones, I will not lose them. You know, at one time it was so bad, I was losing disciples. I started saying, nothing dies in my hand, Lord. Nothing dies in my hand, Lord. Ah! You know what it means to be giving the care of people, humans. One day I woke up 3 a.m. I don't know why I woke up. Someone just called me. Say, hi, my girl. I'm about to jump down the window now. I said, God, I just didn't wake up. I'm just waking up from sleep. I started counseling. I said, you are the righteousness of God. You know, let me not lie to you. In the past, God used to help us. Sometimes we don't know what we are doing. It's the grace of God that is doing the do. You know, thank God for experience now and wisdom and the word of God has given us. So I just said, Lord, you are the righteousness of God. I said, you know, your identity. I don't even know why I addressed identity. I just started saying, you know, you are who you are in Christ Jesus. This is your identity. You know, this or that one. The Lord loves you. I love you. We love you. This or that one. Sha said everything, Sha. She now came down from the window. And I go after her. I said, please, hold that, hold that, hold that, hold that. One time, one man of God called me. He said, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I think an arrow has been shot at me. I say, ah, Lord. I started to pray. I say, in the name of Jesus. Ah, God. Please, are you listening to me? We will make students of men. And that's the job. That's the job. And that's the job that you also receive. Because you are not taught to remain students. You are taught to become teachers also. Are you listening to me? So we will make students of men. Hallelujah. Please, are you following me? There are some things I will never assume that you know. And you should never assume as well as a learner. You should say, I'm a learner and I will learn everything. Ask every question. I'm a learner. Be a learner at every stage. So, you know, the Bible is saying that we should make students of people. Make students. That's the same thing Paul was saying about abiding and continue. Because you can't be a student if there's no constant and continuous training. Do you see what I'm saying? Because not many of us know what it means to be students of the world. Never assume some things. I was already saying that before. We don't assume you know how to pray. We teach you to pray. Sometimes we'll repeat some things to you over and over again. A good teacher is not one that is teaching you mystery every day. I've said this before. A good teacher is someone who can repeat the truth of scriptures to you repeatedly until you gain mastery. Are you listening to me? There are some texts I've repeated to you almost every sermon. Until you gain mastery. Until you gain mastery. That's it. That's it. So you must become a student too. So if I say bring your notes, bring your, I'm still going somewhere with you. I start giving you assignments. When you start summarizing the book of Hebrews, you realize that church is actually a school of the spirit. You're learning. Because Christianity is a taught faith. Amen. Christianity is what? Jesus spent the most of his ministry teaching. So he says to make disciples of every nation. The word there, it says teaching them, is didasco. It means to impart instruction and to instill doctrine. So the teaching of the word of God is both an instruction and an explanation. So as a pastor, you know, I would many times explain and I'll sometimes instruct, like I did this morning. I'm not going to explain why you need to bring your Bible. After I've told you before, if you don't do it that way, you have to bring your Bible. Because are you listening to me? You have to bring your Bible. To bring the Bible. So the work of the local church, the pastor, the teacher, and the body of Christ is teaching and instructing. And the job of the members is to be good students. Amen? Amen. To be good students. To be good students. And learning is an attitude. You have to imbibe that culture. A person can come to church, be devoted, do everything in the choir, do everything. But the most important thing, being a learner, not good at it. Are you getting what I'm saying? Not good at it. And that's not what the scripture commands. So what do we see? Number one, every true discipleship must be consistent and a present training. What did I say? Every true discipleship must be a consistent and present training. Amen. Number two, every true disciple must adopt the attitude of a learner. What did I say? What's number one? Number one is what? Every true discipleship must be a consistent and present training. Number two, every true disciple must adopt the attitude of a learner. Are you ready for number three? Every true discipleship must instruct and teach. Every true discipleship must what? Instruct and teach. What is number one? Number four. Every true discipleship must cause you to experience progress and maturity in Christ. I'll say that again. Every true discipleship must cause you to experience progress and maturity in Christ. Number five. Number four is what? Must cause you to experience progress and maturity. Then number five, it must lead to joy in the faith. And a delightful experience following Christ and awaiting his second coming.
Amen. So God's plan for you as a believer is spiritual growth. Say, God's plan for me as a believer is spiritual growth. Say, God's plan for me is spiritual growth. This is important. When you get saved, you don't automatically learn all these things. You have to be taught. You have to be taught. Listen, I want to show you something. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Are you learning something? Genesis 1, verse 26. Are you all in 1:26? All right, let's read together. 1, 2, go. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have what? So, he says that let us make man in our image. Man there, is it talking about the male gender? What's he talking about? Mankind. So, he says, let them have dominion. So, God gave mankind dominion over everything. Because are you following me? He says, over the fish of the sea, over everything, he says, be fruitful and multiply. And after that, as a test of that dominion, God said, I'm going to bring all the animals to you. Name them. Now, what was that naming supposed to be? In near ancient Eastern culture, and why am I using near ancient Eastern culture? What that means is this. When God communicated to the people, usually, don't be confused. I taught you this in the growth series. When God communicated to the people, in Genesis, for example, in the Old Testament, and in many other parts, he made use of their culture to communicate what he was trying to say. So many times to understand the text, you have to understand it with respect to the context, the culture, the geography, and everything around them. Amen? Remember the Daniel series when they saw water? Water signified something. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So in this situation, the culture around them, which was ancient, Eastern Asian culture, around them at that time, when it comes to things like naming, believed that names were not given randomly. Are you getting what I'm saying? And naming identified the social nature of a creature. So the giving of a name was an act of assigning function or determining the destiny of something. So if a man was to name the animals, it showed his dominion over the animal. Are you getting what I'm saying? And this role was subjected and reserved rather for kings. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the first man is fulfilling the role God gave him by naming the animal in the animals. In that way, he's showing dominion over them. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, what does this teach you? That earth is man's jurisdiction. Did God change any of the names that Adam called the animals? No. That tells you something. That God gave the earth to man. Amen. And this is why, pay attention, many of the things God will do on the earth, he will not do by himself. He will do through a man. Are you listening to me? Because the earth is whose jurisdiction? Man. So if God wants to bless you financially, he will do it through a man. Someone can wake up and favor you. Someone can wake up and say, I just like how you smile. Do you have a job? Are you good at banking? Are you good at this? I'll just give you a job. Amen. Are you listening to me? So, those little things, you don't see the hand of God in it, but the hand of God is in it. And that's why I said that the earth is man's jurisdiction. If God is going to do something on the earth, he's going to do it through a man. He will send a man. He uses men to bless men. You know, my spiritual father always says something to us then. He will say, do for God what he cannot do for himself, and he will do for you what you cannot do for yourself. The only thing that God cannot do for himself are things that pertain to this earth. For example, he has died for you. You preach the gospel. Because he's not going to come down and work and say, receive the gospel. You know, no. Do you see what I'm saying? This is important. So the earth is whose jurisdiction? Man. So if God is going to do something on earth, he's going to use a man. If he's going to bless a generation, he will raise a man. Are you see what I'm saying? If he wants to change your lineage forever, he will raise one man. I've seen people that God raised them, and because of them, their whole family became believers. Are you listening to me? He will raise a man. And that's how God works. So you must be familiar and okay with the idea that God blesses men with men. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Do you hear what I said? God does what? Blesses men with men. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. The earlier you accept it, better for you. Are you all in Ephesians 4:11? 1, 2, go. And he himself
gave some to be for so it says he himself, who is the he himself? Christ gave apostles, gave prophets, gave teachers. Do you have NLT?
Now, these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers.
So what did she say? Want to go? Now, these are the gifts. Do you see a better rendition now, a clearer rendition? So God did not give a man the gift of apostleship. No, God gave the apostle as the gift to the church. Does that make sense? Is that clear to everybody? He says, now these are the gifts that Christ gave to the church. He says, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists. So men are God's gifts to men. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
can you repeat that? Want to go?
Yes,
do you believe that?
Yes,
that men are God's gifts to men. He says, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers. He says, for what reason? He says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. For the equipping of the saints. So the Greek word for equipping is what? Katatismos. What does it mean? The perfecting. The perfecting. The perfecting of the saints. Amen.
Amen.
The furnishing. So yes, you are saved, but there's a furnishing that has to happen. The best analogy is the furnishing of a house. Or even this hall. When we came in here, was it a hall? It was. It was a space. But was it conducive for worship? So what we did is perfecting, is furnishing. That's what he gave you those gifts to do in your life. It says for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. Then it says for the edifying. What's the Greek word edifying? And it means to build up. It's a construction term that means to lay brick upon brick. It means to build up. Are you following me? It means to build up. So he gave you men as gifts to build you up. To build you up. And this is important. You mustn't forget. To build you up. So through ministry gifts, God will build you up. Hallelujah. This is important. Say glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. God's strategy for the building up of men is who? It's men. And this is why you go to church. Because you can't grow in God just by personal study. It has some limitations. God has set it in such a way that you would always need others for your advancement in the faith. God will not give you a gift if you don't need it. God will not disturb other men to be chasing after you if you don't need it. Do you get what I'm saying? This is important. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 10. We're going to read a lot of text. I want you to pay attention now. Hallelujah. All right, read with me. One, two, go, everyone. Night and day, praying exceedingly that we may see your faith. And what? This is what your ministry gifts do. Perfect what is lacking in your faith. So our job is to discern and supply. What are you missing? Is it that you're not praying enough? We'll put 3 hours prayer. Is it that you're not praying? We increase it to 4. I don't think you are there yet to give you 5. You feel like you're going to faint? 6. You think you've arrived? 7. Now you're a prayer warrior? 8. Amen? 9. Amen. Do you get what I'm saying? To discern and supply. Have you ever had a teacher and you just knew that I needed this? How did I know? It is discern and supply. That's our job. Literally. What do they need? Supply. That's it. That's our job. Discern and supply. That's why you need pastors. That's why you need pastors. Are you listening to me? That's what God has sent them to do. So, it doesn't matter their age, their size, they remain God's gift to you. And if you take them for granted, you might lose that gain for which God has sent them to you. Are you following me? And this is God's plan. No matter how you feel about it, it's God's structure for growth. I've seen it, you know, far too well. People fall into error because they can't just submit to spiritual leadership. You know, some people have entered mystical, oh my gosh, mystical things just in searching for God. Go and be reading books, Eye of Horus. You think you are searching for God. You will find demons though. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, you have to at least be in a right structure where someone is looking out for you, taking you through the right plan. Are you with me? Christ gave gifts to men. And so you have to receive those gifts with reverence and with honor. If God is going to bless a generation, I told you, he will do it through what? A man. Many people have submission problems. A lot of people. Submission will touch everybody. Because in one way or the other, we all have to submit to Christ. Even your pastor submits to Christ. So submission will touch everybody. That's just the truth. Hallelujah. It's important. I remember one time I gave an assignment on the online fellowship. And one guy had brought his girlfriend to start learning. So they did not do the assignment. I just came on the group chat. I said, if you don't do your assignment, respond to this message, tell me the reason, and drop a proper apology. And I cleared everybody that day. You know, she stopped coming to our fellowship. So I really be talking to us like that. I said, ah, you're not ready. You're not ready. It's not like I insulted them. I clearly asked them, why didn't you do your assignment? Be accountable for it. And that was it. Some people have a problem with it. But listen, you're in a school. And it might not sit right with you. You know what? The word of God says you need it. Amen? And this is important. Listen, someone has to hold you accountable. If no one can hold you accountable, you cannot grow. Do you get what I'm saying? You cannot grow. There are some people, you know, you're fighting. He said, no one should touch me. He said, calm down now, calm down now. Ah, he said, calm down, you are a child of God. He said, leave God, this reality. Now go on, okay, maybe the person that can calm you is your pastor. He said, bring pastor, yeah, go in full slap, pastor. Listen, it's a big problem if no one can call you to order. It's even some of the biggest problems people face in relationships and marriages. If you cross the line, who can your partner talk to and say, sir, this is what this person is doing, and can be confident that someone can call. Nobody can call your partner to order. It's well, are you getting what I'm saying? This is important, and this is why submission is important. This is why being there. So you have to be under the tutelage of someone. You know, Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. Amen. Paul said what? Follow me as what? As I follow Christ. So some people say, oh, why am I following men? Well, the Bible says, follow them as they follow Christ. I have set in you, I've given you gifts for your what? Equipping. Are you all getting it? You know, a lot of people don't honor people that God has sent to them for many reasons. Number one, age. You know, Timothy was so young. That's why Paul had to tell him, say, don't let them, don't despise your youth. Say, let no one despise your youth. 1 Timothy 4:12. He says, but be an example of the believer in the word, in conduct, in love, in spirit. So, do you know that majority of the apostles in Jesus' time were teenagers? So, everybody here was older than them. Yeah, they were teenagers, except Peter. Even Timothy was a teenager. And Timothy was pastoring churches. And they were receiving him like they would receive Paul. Receiving him as they would receive a man of God. Oh, we can't deal. Who will be the son? Where are you coming from? That you want to come and be pastoring me? Are you getting what I'm saying? There's a saying that you cannot receive what you do not honor. So, the biggest secret to discipleship is honor. Oh my God. You have to raise your honor level if you are going to receive. And honor is one of the biggest ways to receive. Because the men are mere messengers. But your honor for what they have for you is what will help you receive. Amen. The apostles were talking about themselves. They said, we have this treasure in what? Earthen vessels. The important thing is the treasure. They reckon that we are just clay vessels. But if you rate those men based on their frailty, without rating them based on the treasure, you will lose the treasure. Did you hear what I said? You will lose the treasure. you lose the treasure. This is important. Please, are you following me? So these men are God's outstretched arms to you. You will honor them because you know the value of what they have for you. Acts chapter 10 verse 24. The Bible says, and the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them. He had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming, he met him and fell to his feet and worshipped. And Peter lifted him and said, stand up. I myself am a man. Listen, what are you seeing there? Peter says, you know what? Don't do that to me. But Cornelius, a Gentile, understood the value of what Peter had for him. He fell to the floor. Because the gospel is in frail men, but they have treasure. Don't mix the man. Let me put it in a better way. Don't miss the message because of the man. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Find a way to find your honor level there, saying that it's not just about the frail man you are looking at, it's about the treasure he carries for me. Because if you dishonor the man, you lose the treasure. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's an instruction in the word. 1 Thessalonians 5:12. It says, we beseech you to know them that labor amongst you and are over you, and admonish you to esteem them very highly. Oh my God. Is it me that is talking? What does the Bible say? It says to esteem them what? In love. For what reason? So even if you don't honor your pastor for any reason, for their work's sake. It says esteem them very highly. Paul says that death works in us that life might work in you. Do you know what that means? That the men of God go through perils every day. And many things just for the benefit of the people they are serving. If you cannot honor them for any reason, honor them for their work's sake. The people that are set over you are not privileged. They are servants. I'm sorry. You have to learn it. My body is hot. Because if not because of some men who have portrayed a level of pleasure in the work. There's nothing pleasurable about the work. Only the pleasure in the service of God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, ministries now are akin to private jets and cars. That is rubbish. Are you listening to me? Because the work is a sacrifice. So, honor them for the sake of their work. No wonder it's hard to honor. I look at men like Papa E. Adeboye, and I don't search on Google for his net worth. God forbid. What am I searching for? I'm seeing a man who gave his life to Christ in 73. And at 80 years, he's still fasting 40 days and 40 nights. At age 80, a man that said, I have a vision. There will be a church in almost every street, everywhere in the world. And that man is close to fulfilling that, especially in Africa. In Nigeria, is there, how many streets will you pass before you see Redeemed Church? That's what I see of the man. That's what I see of him. Not any other thing. That's what I see. A man at his old age walking around Redemption Camp praying. Some people cannot do it. Praying. That's what I see. I don't have time to explain sacrifice of people like Archbishop Benson Idahosa, who impacted African Christianity on a high level, established over 6,000 churches throughout Nigeria. What will be my legacy? Are you listening to me? Over 6,000 in Nigeria, in Ghana. Many of the ministers that came out of him are pastoring 1,000, 4,000 people. I don't have enough time to tell you of T.L. Osborne, who fasted 3 days and three nights and said, whatever you tell me to do, Lord, from today, I will do it. Please, are you listening to me? I will do it. I can't tell you of John Gillick, men who fasted to a point that they put viruses on their hands and inspected it on a microscope and the virus died. That sacrifice of prayer you are seeing there. Men that have given themselves to the cause. Men that many of the things they had suffered because of the cause of the gospel. I don't have enough time to tell you of all of them. But that's what I see when I think ministry, not the fleet of cars. I heard of Bishop Oyedepo. I heard that he has a better work ethic than majority of the young people we have in our day. In the middle of the night, people are calling him. He's picking up the call because he's awake till like 2. He will go and sleep, wake up by 6 a.m. and start his day again. Till at that age. People are holding miracle meetings everywhere. Many of them, their families suffer, not because that's a good thing. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Listen, there are some people that the work of Christianity in Africa is because of their sacrifice. They gave all they had, just that the gospel will grow in Africa. just that everything will reach us as it were. Listen, we must learn honor. And these are the people that the devil attacks the most. You don't know. Because he knows if he gets them, he gets 1,000 people. Pray for your pastors. Pray. Are you listening to me? Pray. In 1 Timothy 5:7, he said, let the elders who rule be counted worthy of double honor. Double honor. He says, especially those who labor in word and doctrine. Do you know what it means? Your pastor will do a 7-hour Bible study and teach you a 1-hour sermon. Are you getting what I'm saying? 7-hour Bible study, teach you a 1-hour sermon. That's the sacrifice that goes into what we do here. Amen? Sleepless nights, prayer, devotion, that Christ might be found in you. They don't demand the honor, but at least for their work's sake, give them the honor. You must alienate talking bad about people of God. Alienate it. Listen, there are some that have ridiculed the work, but don't generalize. Don't. Number two, familiarity. Whatever you get too familiar with, it will lose its value. Are you with me? Your pastor can be your friend, but your pastor is not your friend. Amen? This is important. He's your mentor. Jesus Christ was in his hometown. He could do no miracle because the people's heart had gotten too familiar. Is it not the son of Joseph and Mary, Joseph the carpenter? Unbelief can set in by familiarity. You get what I'm saying? So you must be able to remember the value of your ministry gifts. There will be times when you'll be instructed, scolded, corrected. You can either receive it with meekness, humility, or rebel against it. You know, some of you keep malice with their pastor. What's wrong with you? What do you think we are doing here? Amen? This is important. You have to learn. You all know the story of Mary and Martha. Familiarity. And it can be honest. Because Martha went about cooking, but by doing that, she showed a lack of priority to the treasure that Jesus brought. Are you getting what I'm teaching you? So, there's supposed to be a meeting, but you are more focused on cleaning the window, arranging the roof, mopping the ceiling. Sorry. I'm joking. I don't task like that. Than even the word. I will bless you and change your life. Please, are you following me? Mary's attitude was the attitude of Elena. She sat at the feet. That's what it means to be a learner. Amen. The reason why some men of God think it important to begin to look mystical and unreachable is to help your heart. Because they know if they give you access to their life, you don't know how to handle access. It will lead to dishonor. And they will not be able to minister to you and bless you anymore. Are you getting what I'm saying? How do you behave? How do you discern priority? I remember when I used to visit my university to teach. People had their lives. But the moment I stepped in, people will close everything they are doing. Say, PMAC is in Babcock. So one day, you know, I was talking to a lady, she's in the US now. She said, one day I was just looking for everybody. I did not see them in rehearsal. They say, well, what happened? They say, one PMAC is in school. I did not even know it was you, sir. I would have come. You know, she was telling me now in hindsight. Because there's some priority. Listen, let me teach you something. Eh? Every access you get to your ministry gift, value who you have. And ask the right questions. I learned that very early. I remember then, I just realized that if I'm working with my mentor, if I gist with him, laugh with him, he will laugh with me, gist with me. But if I ask him wise questions, I would be impacted throughout the conversation. So I learned. I started asking the right questions. Some of you, you know, everything, you're with your pastor, you're like, you know? Listen. I'm instructing here. Just pay attention. Pay attention. I'm instructing here. Ask wise questions. Some of my best teachings that were not on the pulpit, they were as advices and conversations. Amen. They were as advices and conversations. So, make use of every access. You have access. You have phone number. Ask the right questions. Ask the right questions. Push the right things forward. I'm not saying don't talk to your pastor, play with your pastor, laugh to your pastor. I'm just saying value. Remember who is with you. Remember the value he has for you. Remember that there is a wealth of knowledge that can influence your life. Amen. That can influence your life. There are some people, when they call me, our conversation always get to Bible conversation. Just how it is. Amen. And that's it. Hallelujah. These gifts called who? Men. Men. Some people don't give you access to them because if you see their frailty, you can't fathom anymore. They don't give you access. It's just an ordinary man.
your honor level don't disappear. Learn to cover your pastor. That's another thing. Learn to cover your pastor. Cover the best job, the person whose best job is covering you. You know, some of you, someone has been covering you for years. You've made mistakes. You've done bad things. The person knows about it. Did not condemn you. The day he had one mistake, you are you now. It's you that wants to do exposition and commentary on his shortcoming. Learn. That's why I'm not quick to talk anyhow. Isn't this pastor? I'm not quick to talk. Because the same grace that covered you should cover him. Even though he might have to step down and go through, you know, a reformation process. You get what I'm saying? But let grace cover. Let it be done inward. Let it not be on your account that instead you text and I say, I have information about that man you are talking about. You screenshot all your chats. Amen. 1 Timothy 5:19 says, don't receive an accusation against an elder except when two or three witnesses say it. Some of you, one person just whispers, you carry rumors. You don't even know if it's true or not. Are you listening to me? Last thing I want to talk about, appreciation. Today is about this gift called, man. Appreciation. This is one of the worst things. I don't even like talking about it. But today, we'll talk about it. Amen. Appreciating those who labor over you is a position that every believer must see themselves comfortable in. If you learn it, would eradicate many problems. Amen. We must find ourselves comfortable in it. Someone cannot travel from Saskatoon, come and preach in Windsor. You give him gala and water. I say, thank you, sir. We're praying for you. We love you. What? Amen. I'll show you something you've never seen in the Bible. 1 Timothy 5:17. Or maybe you've seen it. What does it say? Can we read together? One, two, go. Next verse. You shall not muzzle an ox while it treads out the grain. And what?
The laborer is worthy of
his wage. Who is the laborer? People that labor, a pastor, evangelist, all of them. What's the wage? Prayer. What's the wage? Appreciation. Money itself. Anything it is for appreciation. You know I sound weird. It's not because I need it. Amen? I'm speaking like Paul now. Paul gave them advice. He says, I've learned to abound and abase. He says, I'm teaching you to give, not because I need your giving. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is normal Christian culture. That a laborer is worthy of his wage. Meaning that if a person gives towards the ministry in labor and in service, it is expected that his wage comes from that. He's showing you also that the pastoral distinct is an office, it's a work, it's a job, even though it's a ministry. Are you getting what I'm saying? Even though it's a ministry. You know, we're in the age of skepticism. Nobody wants to question everything. You know, you want to feel woke about it. Why is your pastor collecting this? Why is the pastor collecting salary? This was not a problem in scripture. Are you getting what I'm saying? Never. The Levites who looked after the temple were told not to do any other work. You know what they were eating? The bread on the table of shewbread. Do you know what they were eating? All your gifts that they are bringing to the Lord as offering. And it was not a bad thing. Because it was their job to look after the things of God. So he that looks after the thing, it is only fitting that he feeds in the place that he's serving. Because he has no other. Do you want to kill them? Do you want to kill them? Are you getting what I'm saying? You don't want to kill them. So, a few things appreciation will do for you. Number one, it will give your pastor the expected wage. Listen, this is important. Ministry is actually not to be done in the way that some of us have been forced to do it. Do you understand? If a man is pastoring a church, it is the church that covers his welfare. We've not demanded that. Amen? Not because we cannot.
But we don't want to frustrate the work. But this is biblical. Are you following me? Number two, it will help with your honor. Because you would only spend on something that you deem important. You put your money in the place where your heart is. Whatever you spend on is important to you. So it will help your heart. And number three, it will make your laborers work easier. You see, pastors are stealing. The temptation is too much. They know they pay. How you pay your pastor 20K? Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not saying pay me money. I'm just telling you. This is biblical. It's biblical. So, I remember when I was young, as my father is buying clothes, he's buying my pastor's family's home on the side. I didn't used to understand. I'm like, why are you doing this? But as I grew up, I started pastoring. I said, hey, wow. Now, why are you? Because some of these men, thank God I'm working. I'm able to do. Listen, if you want to see the best of your pastor, see him in full-time. Full-time ministry, see him. I can't afford to do that now. I still have some time to work. I can't put my bills on the church. But listen, see me. You think you know the game. You go get meeting every day. You go. Your life will change, bro. You know, some of these teachings I do them short term. Listen, if I were doing full time, I would have written 5 years. 5 years ahead sermon. They will start doing special meetings all across Kitchener, everywhere. Let's just travel. But now work. You know, after work, don't finish my head throughout another church. Do you get what I'm saying? 1 Corinthians 9, we'll read three more texts, we'll round up. 1 Corinthians 9, 11. Amen? What happened? Ah! Why are you laughing? The day you will beat me, this church is coming. 1 Corinthians 9, 11. Amen? Yes. Pay attention. Attitude of a learner. Yes. Amen?
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 Amen.
Attitude of a
learner.
That's good. 1 Corinthians 9:11. Are we ready to read?
Yes,
one, two, go. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing?
If you reap your material things.
If we sow in you spiritually, it's only fitting that we reap carnally. This is normal. The Bible is replete with it. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Verse 12, what does it say? If others... Others are partakers of this right over you. Are we not even more? Nevertheless, we have not used this right, but we've endured all things, lest we hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you see that? Verse 13, 1, 2, go. Are you seeing that? Verse 14. Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live. So am I lying to you? Philippians 4:15. That's two. I know some of you are counting. That's two. Philippians 4:15. Are we ready?
Yes,
alright, one, two, go. Now you Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving. So they did it. Next verse. For even in Thessalonica, you sent what? Aid. So they sent aid to their pastors because they know that you need something for the work. They sent aid. So honorariums are normal in the church, not as a means of manipulation, but as a free will offering. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Free will offering, not forced, not dip your hand in your pocket. Free will offering. Are you seeing what I'm saying? Please don't give somebody that came from a million miles gala and water and say, we love you, we are praying for you, God bless you for impacting us. Some of them don't even have money. It has happened though. I've experienced it before. I one time, it was me that paid my transportation to Ilorin to go and preach. You know, but I understood because they were a student community, so I just found money, you know, to join with what they gave to me. My spiritual father then, my mentor then, he went on. They gave him gala and water. They say, sir, you know, he said he wants to sleep. They gave him one bench. They say, we'll clean the bench for you. You know, sir, just sleep when you wake up. You know, so he was about to go. He was not delaying his step like, you know, so I'm leaving.
You know, they say, oh, yes, sir. You know, thank you. We were blessed. Say, yeah, I'm leaving. You know. He thought they would say, you know, we've prepared as a matter of bounty. There was no bounty. Amen. Last text, Galatians 6:6. Rise up to your feet. You will endure sound word. Say amen. Amen. Were you blessed?
Yes,
Galatians 6:6. Let's read together. 1, 2, go. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Next verse. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For wherever a man sows, that he will also reap. Next verse. For he that sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap what? Next verse. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose that. Next verse. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of. So is he talking about money or prayer? All of the above. Okay. Amen. We're going to pray. And it's just one simple prayer. Lord, help me honor the men you've given to me as gifts, truly. And help me receive all that you've put in me, in them for me. It's a simple prayer. Let's pray wherever we are. Talambrotelia kapalia. Lord, help me honor the men that you've given to me as gifts. And Lord, help me receive all that you have put in them for my benefit. Help me receive all that you've put in them for my benefit. Help me receive all that you've put in them for my benefit. That my life will be changed through proper discipleship from today and even moving forward. As I make adjustments in my heart, as I make adjustments in my responses, I begin to see the effects. I begin to grow exponentially. Can you just pray that prayer? I sense it for someone. Exponential growth. Growth in the word, growth in prayer, growth in your walk with God. We begin to experience it even much more than ever before. Thank you, Jesus.